Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov, and I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the past week or so. Here are some of the news items I'll be covering. John Kerry evaluates the fight against climate change. Sharp criticism of Israel by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. And TikTok's clock is running out. First, John Kerry on climate change. John Kerry was interviewed by a New York Times reporter as he stepped down from his position as special envoy. Here are some highlights on how the fight is going. Quote, if we did the things we could do, that we know how to do, and that we have the technologies for, we could actually do it. We're just not. We're not doing it on a global basis. Emissions are going up in too many countries. Oil and gas are still on a binge, and their profits are obscene. I mean, they're just shocking. And everybody seems to be locked into a place of indifference. Why is that, he's asked. Quote, greed in a lot of cases, the case of business as usual in a lot of cases, and some wishful thinking in a lot of cases. And then in some cases, just lies, complete distortion paid for by those profits. On the question of financing energy transitions, quote, it's been disappointing because the countries have not followed through. But there's no magic here. It is simple. It's economics. It's basic market forces and how they work. And the problem is that gas and oil right now are making humongous, gigantic windfall profit in the trillions, and the margin for solar and wind can't compete with that, unquote. Kerry did offer three positive signs, one of them on methane. Quote, now we have 155 countries signed on to the methane pledge, and we now have technology that can trace methane leaks. And methane is responsible for 50% of the warming of the planet, but it's also where you get the fastest reduction in heat. So if we can make the methane thing work, we actually can buy ourselves a little time, unquote. A second positive sign, the U.S., although the leading exporter of oil and gas, at the same time is, quote, tripling renewables, doubling energy efficiency, tripling nuclear. We've been pushing for no permitting of any new coal-fired power plant, unquote. Kerry also noted correctly the coal problem, especially in China, where on one hand you have coal dependence, and on the other, leadership in manufacturing and deploying renewable energy sources. A third positive change, creating green jobs and investments. Quote, last year, the job growth in clean energy was 3.9%. The overall job growth in the U.S. workforce was 3.1%. So for the first time, clean energy is winning in job growth. In addition, you had $1.8 trillion of investment in new technologies, clean energy, and green energy. You had $1.1 trillion in the old energy. But still, that's the first time historically that renewables and clean energy have beaten the amount of money that's going into investment in fossil fuels. So here's Kerry's bottom line, quote, the movement for change writ large needs to do a hell of a lot better job communicating to people that on the other side of this transition is a better world, cleaner, safer, healthier, more secure. But for the moment, the guys with the money are spending that money to scare people and to put out a false narrative. Not surprised they've been doing it for 70, 80 years, since propaganda was invented. How do I feel about it? I feel really peed off and frustrated. Next, Senator Schumer offers a sharp criticism of Israel. Chuck Schumer, the highest-ranking elected Jewish official in the country, has called for new elections in Israel to replace Benjamin Netanyahu. This fairly startling intervention in Israeli politics comes in the belief that Netanyahu has become a major obstacle to peace. Schumer said, quote, I believe in his heart his highest priority is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah, unquote. Then he added, quote, Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. Along with other democratic progressives, Schumer is calling for a return to the two-state solution to Israeli-Palestinian relations. He said, quote, the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past, unquote. The only solution, he said, is a, quote, demilitarized Palestinian state living side by side with Israel in equal measures of peace, security, prosperity, and dignity, unquote. President Biden said he approved of Schumer's speech, perhaps because Schumer said what Biden, for diplomatic reasons, can't say so bluntly to Netanyahu. Republicans were quick to pounce on Schumer's comments, seeing them as a political opportunity to pose as Israel's only benefactors and portray the Democrats, in the words of Mitch McConnell, as anti-Israel. Sure enough, Donald Trump followed with a trope he used when president. Democrats hate Israel, he said in a radio interview. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel, unquote. But the real problem with Schumer's comments lies elsewhere. For one, they may actually work in Netanyahu's favor. As his predecessor as prime minister, Naftali Bennett, said, quote, regardless of our political opinion, we strongly oppose external political intervention in Israel's internal affairs. We are an independent nation, not a banana republic, unquote. For another, very few Israelis, including Netanyahu's critics, are calling for new elections while the war is going on and the hostages have not been liberated. TikTok's clock is running out. In case you didn't listen to my commentary on Tuesday night, here's a short version of that story. The Chinese-owned TikTok has been under attack throughout the last two administrations on the argument that data collection of American users would threaten national security. An overwhelming majority in the House of Representatives passed a bill requiring the sale of TikTok to a U.S. entity in 6 months, or, if a sale cannot be made, a total ban on it. The bill may not pass in the Senate, however. President Biden has indicated he will sign the bill. Donald Trump, who once was also against TikTok, now says it may be a national security threat, but young people will go crazy without it. His real reasons for favoring TikTok? Probably twofold. First, the CEO of ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, is a major contributor to Trump's campaign. And the chief competitor, Facebook, is, to quote Trump, an enemy of the people. Among the problems presented by the House bill are free speech limitations, government overreach, and data security. Eventually, courts may have to weigh in on the matter. But there is also a practical reason, as David Sanger, the New York Times national security expert, explains, quote, TikTok has far less to do with who owns it than it does with who writes the code and algorithms that make TikTok tick. The algorithms are owned by ByteDance, and the Chinese government decides when and whether the algorithms can be granted a license for sale to outsiders. They're very unlikely to do that. That leaves a ban as the only option, which in an election year and 170 million TikTok users is surely a bad idea. In other news, the Great Barrier Reef is under unprecedented threat. Australia's 1,400-mile-long Great Barrier Reef's coral reefs face new dangers from bleaching as oceans continue to heat up. In 2016, heating resulted in destruction of about 30% of the reefs, and since then, heat waves have become more common. Bleaching occurs when coral reefs lose their protective algae, and extreme bleaching means death for the reefs. That is what is happening right now in the southern portion of the Great Barrier Reef. The head of the Great Barrier Reef is begging for relief, any kind of relief, saying, quote, we are hoping for an extreme cyclone to reduce the impacts of another extreme weather event. A CIA covert operation against China is revealed. A Reuters investigation found that in 2019, Donald Trump ordered a CIA covert operation in China to plant stories of official corruption and various examples of poor leadership. These were designed to influence public opinion and cause fear among the leaders. The Reuters report says, quote, the efforts within China were intended to foment paranoia among top leaders there, forcing its government to expend resources chasing intrusions into Beijing's highly controlled internet, according to two former officials. We wanted them chasing ghosts, one of these former U.S. officials said. It's not clear whether this operation in China was the first authorized by Trump, nor whether it has continued under Biden. Whatever value may have come from the operation, it gives ammunition to the Chinese who are engaged these days in hacking and influence operations in the U.S. and elsewhere. The Chinese government has already charged that the Reuters report shows how the U.S. intervenes in other countries' affairs, which, of course, the Chinese have been doing for decades. Israel plans a mass evacuation from Rafah. With an attack on Rafah apparently imminent, the Israeli Defense Forces have announced how it plans to deal with the approximately 1.5 million Gazans who have been forced to flee there and are living in tent cities. The Times of Israel reports, quote, "The Israeli Defense Forces said Wednesday it plans to direct a significant portion of the displaced Gazans in Rafah toward humanitarian islands in the center of the territory, ahead of a planned ground operation in the southernmost Gazan city. The IDF says Hamas has four battalions in the area that it wants to destroy. Those islands will provide temporary housing, food, water, and other necessities to civilians fleeing war. Israel wants, quote, the timing of its attack to be right operationally and be coordinated with neighboring Egypt, which has said it does not want an influx of displaced Palestinians crossing its border," unquote. President Biden has said an attack on Rafah is a red line for U.S. support of Israel, but Prime Minister Netanyahu has said that the operation is definitely going ahead. Finally, Netherlands establishes a Holocaust museum. The Netherlands became one of the last countries occupied by the Nazis to open a national Holocaust museum. It finally acknowledges the fact that over 100,000 Jews, three-quarters of the Dutch Jewish population, were killed following the Nazi invasion. As reported by CNN, Emile Schrijver, the general director of the museum in Amsterdam, said in an interview before the opening that the venue would, at last, give the Holocaust, quote, a place in the collective Dutch memory. It reflects a very long history of processing and the invisibility of this project in Dutch public space. For a long time, much of the community felt that there was no room for the specifics of the Jewish experience in the war, he said. But now we are here, and the question is why now? Because we can show the people who are the natural owners of this history, the survivors, that we mark their history here, and in 10 or 15 years, when they are no longer here, we will still be here to tell it. And it is to show a new generation the importance of Dutch history and an awareness of what can happen if you set people apart, treat people as the other, and in the end, take away their humanity," unquote. A Dutch professor of Holocaust studies reminded people of the country's complicity in the murder of Jews. Quote, "We did not want to see ourselves as a nation involved in collaboration with the Nazis. We saw ourselves as the nation of Anne Frank. Thus, it hurts when we are forced to see ourselves as the nation of the tram driver transporting the Frank family to the station, and from there to a transit camp, and to a death camp from there. Holocaust awareness came late," unquote. Now, at last, the record can be set straight. And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening, and take good care.